In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Perhaps you know that Leonardo da Vinci's final painting was of John the Baptist from, I think, 1513. And it is not talked about that much because it's not considered much of a masterpiece, since he depicted John the Baptist as sort of a cherubic Italian with a Mona Lisa smile. I mean, it is almost photocopied from the Mona Lisa. But Leonardo, God bless him, did get two things right. About John the Baptist, he depicted him as shrouded in darkness, and secondly, as pointing upward. Now, John the Baptist was a pointer. In almost every painting you'll see of him, he's doing some pointing. In fact, when asked about himself in the passage we just heard, he says, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." Then he goes on to say, "Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." What he's trying to say is that he is not the main event. And it's very much in keeping with the humility that lies at the heart of the Advent and Christmas season. I think it's worth dwelling on a little bit today, this pointing that he does, because you and I are no stranger to pointing. We spend a lot of time in life pointing. First of all, most obviously, we point the finger at each other. We live in a time right now when a lot of fingers are being pointed publicly. A lot of accusations. It's what's known as a call-out culture, where, rightly or wrongly, it can take on a bit of a performative aspect. But that's another topic. What I know to be true is that the second the index finger comes out, it's not good news for the person on the other end of it. In fact, isn't this how people caricature preachers? Of someone standing up in a pulpit saying, "You need to stop, dot, 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 dot. Or you need to start, dot, 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 dot." In other words, you need to change. Pointing in this sense conveys judgment, which, if we take what the Bible has to say on the matter seriously, it's really not part of the human job description. But we point. And the response is often that people point right back at us. We get caught in a cycle of recrimination and revenge, and it becomes part and parcel of the darkness that John describes here today. We ignore, of course, the three fingers pointing back at us? That's what I was reminded of at 7:45. But secondly, and more importantly, we point to ourselves. Now, we don't do this like the Fonz. We don't say, "Hey, you know, that's a terrible impression." But we don't have the thumbs pointing back at ourselves. But we do it figuratively. What am I talking about? Maybe you've overheard a conversation recently between two acquaintances, or it could be two friends, or it could be two loved ones. And it goes like this. First person says, "I think I'm coming down with a cold. I don't feel so hot." And the other one says, "Huh, you know, I had a cold last week." Or, "Huh, I'm surprised how healthy I feel." Instead of, "Tell me more, that sounds awful." What you do is you steer the conversation back to yourself. You hijack it, even out of empathy. But that's what you've done. And we do this in mundane ways, but we also do it when it gets down to the serious, painful realities of life. We say, "You know, I lost my father this year, and I'm still feeling it." And your friend, your loved one, says, that is so terrible to hear. You know, I lost my father 10 years ago and it's still with me. There's good intention. There's love. However, bringing the conversation back to yourself is not actually listening to another person. Real listening involves hearing another's words, not entirely in reference to yourself. And it hardly ever happens. When it does happen, it is grace incarnate. But maybe you don't point, maybe you don't conversationally point back to yourself constantly. You're thinking about the gifts you're going to give for Christmas, and you want to make sure that the gift says the right thing about you. You're interested in winning the thoughtfulness prize or the generosity prize. You know, I want to make sure that you get this gift I'm going to give you, but I really want to make sure that it's a sign pointing back to how great I am. And it's all complicated, the reason we give gifts, but there can be a way of pointing back to yourself. Today, the term we use for pointing back to ourselves is signaling, and it's a very helpful word. Social media exists predominantly for the purposes of signaling back to yourself, signaling your virtue. What I mean by that is when you post something or you say something publicly in support of often a very good or noble thing, it can, when compounded by 6 gazillion people and all their comments, it can come across as a big sign pointing back to you and how good you are and how you have the right opinion. But social media, you do this all the time. I was reminded of my favorite satirical headline of the last few years. This 6-day visit to rural African village completely changes woman's Facebook profile picture. Supposed to be funnier than that. What else do we signal? We signal our success at Christmas time. We signal our happiness, our popularity. We signal our busyness. We point back to ourselves. Maybe you're at a holiday party and someone asks you how the year's been. Oh, so busy. We haven't had a chance to catch our breath. I just hope we get a break soon. Translation, we are really in demand. And you have no idea how valuable my time is. So be excited that I'm talking to you right now. You know, I'm not immune from this. The other day, someone was telling me about this book that they'd read this year that really meant a lot to them, and they were trying to really convey something of a spiritual importance to me. And I heard myself saying after they finally stopped talking, I'm just kidding. I heard myself say, well, you know, I was asked to write the introduction for that book. Pathetic. That is it negates any possible wisdom I might actually have to share with this person. Or in that introduction, which I didn't write, by the way, we point back to ourselves all the time. More often, we're a little more sophisticated about this. We point back to ourselves via the questions we ask in public settings. You know, what about recycling options? You know, in case no one else had thought of it, we signal we want to make sure people know that we've thought about something deeply, and we're coming at it from a very concerned, from the right point of view. It doesn't mean questions aren't important, but you know when someone is performing a question versus asking a question. Oftentimes, we point out our goodness by denouncing what we hate. We live in a culture of denunciation, meaning we point to ourselves by pointing at others. And the louder we shout, the more we try to convince others that we care, when, of course, what actually is pointed out is the extent to which we feel insecure or condemned or guilty. Because more than to be good, what we often want is for others to know just how good we are. And this is what makes John the Baptist so remarkable, is it not? A lot of people say it, but his job was truly to work himself out of a job. He was ready to step out of the way, to abdicate. And if you know people with influence, with power, with the audience that he had, you know that this happens basically never. Who doesn't elect to run for a second term? That's foolishness, if you got it in the bag. But he is not interested in taking the credit. He wants to get out of the way. It's a great illustration of that, you know, that truism, which is credited to Ronald Reagan and Harry Truman, but it's actually a 19th century Jesuit named Father Strickland who said, there's no limit to what a man can do if he doesn't care who gets the credit. That's deeply true. What about you and I who are not John the Baptist? How does it ever change? Is there ever a way? How do we escape the cycle of finger pointing at ourselves, at other people? Is there anywhere a time when that pointing ceases to be out of blame or resentment or self-seeking, self-glorification? How does the cycle break? Well, picture yourself at the bottom of a well. All around you, there's confining darkness, but when you look up, you can see some light. And so you cry for help. You yell. And someone hears your cries and lowers a rope with a bucket down from the top of the shaft. It reaches you, and you're pulled up to safety, to freedom and light. Now, how odd would it be to summarize that event by talking about how stealthily you climbed into the bucket? Or how athletically you grabbed hold of that rope? Wouldn't drawing attention to such minor details completely misinterpret what had just happened? Wouldn't it instead, if something like that happened to you, wouldn't it impel you, compel you to seek out, to point to with gratitude the one who heard your cry and rescued you? Well, this, my friends, is the heart of the Christian faith. It's what we come together every single week to do. If you've ever experienced this kind of gratitude, by the way, you know it's the only way out of that horizontal pointing game. It's the vertical one. It's our very architecture, which is pointing upward as if to say, look up to freedom, to liberty, to light. Give credit to the one who actually deserves it, who is God, and not we ourselves. This is what every AA meeting does. And yet, perhaps you've heard that classic Eastern saying, when the sage points at the moon, all the fool sees is the finger. You see, we don't remember John the Baptist because he was humble, or because he had courage, or because he looked funny, or because he pointed beyond himself. A lot of people do that. Or even because he pointed to some celestial reality known as God. We remember John the Baptist because he pointed specifically at Jesus Christ. We focus not on John's pointing, but the one to whom he pointed. The baby in the lowly cattle shed. The warm glow of the manger to which he testified. That light which shines in the darkness and is not overcome by it. Today and every Sunday, we point to the one who's not pointing back at you, but opening his arms in love, even as we point the nails into the wood and hammer them into the cross. Because this baby is not just any child, but he is, as John himself tells us, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That means yours. That means mine. Whose light shines on those who cannot and will not live up to it. A light, we are told, that not even death can snuff out. And so, today, those fingers pointing at you, the ones you are pointing at other people and yourself, they have been and are being and will be subsumed, forgiven, and absolved. This baby, this Christ child, signals to you that God does not relate to you on the basis of where you are pointing, but according to the credit due his own Son, given freely this day and always. Merry Christmas. And amen.